This morning's message, allegations of wrongdoing among leaders.
Normally, when there's wrongdoing going on, an accusation comes up, these things have to be, the indictment has to come forward, has to be proven, and the one making the accusation has to be able to prove that this that they're accusing the person of has came about. But this morning, our allegation comes from God. The accusation comes from God, and the circumstances that brought that about is that you can see the results of the negligence of these shepherds to do their job. In this chapter, the last two verses, chapters 33 and 34, we were talking about responsibility. The responsibility of the shepherd being a watchman to warn the people and tell the people of their wrongdoing, or just what's going on, so that when the sword does come, it won't come unto them. If that it does come, it's going to be through their direct rebellion and not taking heed to the word of God. But we see here that the allegation is against the shepherds. It's for a dereliction of duty. It was for something they had not done. It was for something that they had done that was wrong. See, there's two things there that's going on. Some things that had not been done, and some things that had been done, but done the wrong way. So there's a problem. What happens is that he told Ezekiel to bring this word forth and speak it to the shepherds from Ezekiel 34th chapter, the first two, about the 10th verse we're talking on this morning, our text comes from. But it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them." Now, when we say the spiritual shepherds, and I'll explain this to you a little bit elaborately after the reading. But it says, "Thus says the Lord God," whoa, judgment is coming, "to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, the choices of the meat. You clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the best of the flock, but you do not feed the flock. You have not strengthened those who are weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bandaged the crippled, and you have not brought back those that went astray. You have not looked for the lost, but you have ruled them with force and violence. They were scattered because there was no shepherd." Now, he's not saying here that it wasn't a person in position of a shepherd, but that these people wasn't doing the job of a shepherd. It's a dereliction of duty. He says, "And when they were scattered, they became food for all the predators of the field. My flock wandered throughout all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the face of the earth, and no one searched to sort them out." This is why the accusation was brought. The allegation was, this wouldn't have happened if you'd have been doing your job. If you would have been doing that which you were supposed to do. Now, we have another problem here, because we'll discuss that, I guess, my last point. Because some of the people weren't supposed to be doing that job anyhow. They had usurped that authority. And therein lies the problem when we're in a position where we're doing what we're not supposed to be doing, or we're not walking our vocation calling. Now, we know that a false prophet has to be put to death. That's the result of it. A false prophet, that we're responsible for knowing those that labor among us. We have to be able to know those who are not walking in God's word. And I tell you, the first point was they were neglecting their duty. The reason the neglect was come, that these prophets was mainly focused on the prize and not the purpose. The purpose should have been out of love. The purpose should have been out of appointment and duty to God. But it was because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So it was for other things. It was for material things. It was for things that could be seen, used, heard, just things that were human, or carnal things. So this came about. This came about in an awful way that the people, if there was an animal at your house, if it was a dog or whatever pet you had, and you fail to feed that dog in the morning or fail to feed that animal, what does that animal do? You see him all down the street knocking over garbage cans. He's rummaging, looking for food. You know, they say even a dog will leave home if you don't feed. So the people wasn't getting fed in their churches. They wasn't getting fed the way God had intended for them to be fed. So they went to the high places. It says mountain and hills. They went everywhere searching for sustenance, something to fulfill them. They weren't being fulfilled. So, see, sometimes you can be in a church and it's just like eating, an adult feeding a child. If he's not a responsible adult, he may be feeding the child, but not feeding the child the right way. See, he says, the sick you hadn't healed and you hadn't caused my people's prosperity. You know, they said, we have a problem with obesity in the United States. There's a problem with obesity. In other words, these people are not being exercised. They're not eating properly. If I'm not a responsible adult, I'll give my child too much candy, the wrong things, snacks and things. Give him too many starches, too many carbohydrates, not in the right proportion. In other words, I'm not giving them a balanced meal. I picked up my two grandchildren yesterday from school, two different schools, and I went to Costco and was shopping around, and they have samplers in there, and they were sampling out Go-Gurt. It's a form of yogurt for children that's in a tube, and it had some other things, fruit rolls or whatever, but these were healthy snacks. And as responsible adults, we should give our children healthy snacks, something that doesn't make them obese. We should cut out all the candies and all the stuff that make their health not a good health, because type 2 diabetes is growing rapidly in the younger generation. So we have to make sure, as Michelle Obama, the first lady, was saying, she had focused upon proper diet in school. In other words, they're getting the fruit, a certain amount of servings of fruit of day, a certain amount of vegetables. It has to be in this governmental health pyramid that it's a balanced diet. It's the same way with preaching. It's the same way with feeding the flock of God. And see, that's what Jesus was counting on when he appoints a shepherd. His number one priority is feed my sheep. That's why he asked, he said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Now see, it's necessary for Peter to put everything else aside. He says, waiting tables and doing all this. That's why they have deacons in the church. He says, I must be given to the word of God so that I can do my job properly. So it was his responsibility to feed the sheep. And we can't feed them at some church. If I was just designed on faith this morning, I taught you about faith only, I wouldn't be a good shepherd. See, because along with that, that's what the people will not heal, and that's what the televangelists are doing today. They consistently run after the era of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. We look at that in the book of Revelation. We notice that Jesus, as a messenger, is warning the churches in Asia. There were seven churches and there were five. He told them that they had to repent. In other words, a prophet, a preacher, a teacher, that being a watchman, he also have to preach repentance. He has to preach that they consistently have to be reminded that they are humans, that they are flesh, and they are in a sinful body, and they have to pull off that old man, that we can't just preach
God giving you favor and the blessings of Christ and prosperity, money cometh and everything. I must get down in the clinches with you and tell you where you're walking wrong. Now, these churches, he admonished them of all the good works and all the good things that they were doing. But he says, look, I got somewhat something against you because this is what you're doing wrong. Now, let me tell you, you're doing a lot of good things, but this is what you're doing wrong. I don't have to tell you about your wrong also. I need to tell you about your wrong. The message to the church at Pergamos. This church error was they were listening, supported those that held the doctrine of Balaam, which was a false prophet. Revelation 2nd chapter. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write these things. These are the words of him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword in judgment. Now here comes the sword. Now, you should be telling them the sword's coming to judge you on these things. If you don't tell them these things, you're not a good watchman. And I'm the one wielding that sword. I'm the one bringing that judgment against them. So God's coming and you can't resist God. It's going to fall upon the shepherds, the sheep, anyone that don't take heed to that word. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. I know that you at a church that Satan may be a minister there, that Satan may be leading that church, that you, the churches in the world, it's too many worldly churches with too many worldly preachers and have brought the world into the church. I know that's the problem, but you don't blame it on that preacher though. Don't try to put it on that preacher. I'm talking to you though, he says. This is the problem. Yet you are holding fast to my name. You still name the name of Jesus. You're holding fast, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, the faithful one who was killed, you know, marred among you, where Satan dwells. The church had gotten rid of this man. They had literally killed him. Not, a lot of times, the death today is not only destruction of the individual physically, but if you notice that they're killing our president, especially in the GOP party. In other words, they're murdering and slandering his reputation. To kill someone, you can use words to kill. Those words are poison. They're making accusations. You can kill with the tongue. This, they're literally destroying what he's standing for and what he's saying. They're twisting those words. So he says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there some among you who are holding to the corrupt teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, enticing them to eat things that have been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality. This teaching here is to corrupt the people. This teaching here leads to corruption. Because now you got those politicians that you're supporting. You remember when I was reading earlier when I said your leaders and I. See, in Israel, your religion was your life. If you didn't have a religion, you didn't have a life. They were tied together somehow or another. We've separated that today. But it shouldn't be separated. They didn't have governors and mayors and such that weren't religious. And that, you see that coming back now. The people saying they are religious, but their religion is vain. Now the thing was, that's why you notice that I preach on mayors, governors, presidents, whoever at the spectrum be, whether it's senators or whatever, because religion is local also. So that's why he was talking seven different churches that he's talking to. So what's going on here may not necessarily be going on in the part of the country or nation and that where that preacher is that you listen to, that televangelist. So he's not able to feed you because that's not your problem in that area. The problem that's central to Baton Rouge may not be the problem that's central to Chicago, Baltimore, Los Angeles, to Detroit, to Paris, to some other nations or whatever. There are principalities involved, and there's princes all over the world. They said the prince of Greece, the prince, he fought against this prince. There's demonic forces in each kingdom, in each nation, in each city that has jurisdiction in that city. So the forces, the angels, the demonic wickedness that we're fighting here in Baton Rouge, it's a little bit different from those in New Orleans. A little bit different from Monroe or Shreveport. So that's why he's telling the preacher that the problem is here. He's telling the people the problem is here. It may be with the preacher. You can't put confidence in man. See, what happens if God's about to destroy that man that you have confidence in following him? That means you have a misplaced confidence or trust. It has to be in God. They were tempting the people just like right now. They're making a lot of people are becoming hypocrites because we want to block immigration. That's what the Constitution was founded on. That you don't have a religious test of people. So they're saying if we block all Muslims from coming to America, kind of reminds me of the picture I seen in the Advocate the other day in the editorial section. They had this cartoon caption where they had these pilgrims coming over in the boat, and they had two or three Indians, Native Americans, standing, you know, in the wilderness there looking, and says, what harm could it be to let them in? In other words, here's the irony. The Native Americans, the Indians, allowed the white man in. When they migrated, when the pilgrims came over from Britain, from England, the Native Americans took them in and showed them how to live, helped them to survive. Eventually, they destroyed the Native Americans and moved them onto reservations and called them savages and now claim America as their homes. But those founding fathers said, well, we can't have a religious discrimination, so we shouldn't discriminate against religion. And those very people now that's going against the found, that says things how they believe in the Constitution, they want to go against what they were founding on. That's called hypocrisy. That's called hypocrisy when you live one way and do another. That's why Jesus told us to beware the leaven of the Pharisee, their doctrine contained leaven. So what they were doing was intermarrying and marrying. You see, but in the physical, God had told us to be fruitful and multiply. But there were certain criteria for marrying and intermarrying. Just like in the spiritual, there are certain criteria for religious intermingling. And that is none. In other words, we can't take any false doctrine. So we have to preach the word of God, and we can't be united with any other doctrine. And that's what Balaam did. His doctrine was that they would allow the men of Israel who couldn't be cursed. If God has you blessed, and if we Americans are blessed, nobody can make me fearful that anybody in the world can do me anything that God doesn't allow them. Whom God had blessed, he had blessed. So no matter what happens to me, I'm an Antipas. If I allow this and they kill me, I still remain faithful to God. So you can't put fear in me by preaching fear and instilling fear in me having self-preservation, trying to save my life, because those who attempt to save their lives shall lose their lives. Trying to build bigger bonds, and now I've allowed material things to replace the true living thing, and that is the condition of my soul. My soul is required, not the material thing. So we shouldn't labor for the bread that doesn't satisfy. So that's what we have here in America. We have some people that hold that doctrine. They hold the wrong doctrine. That's what Balaam did. And things sacrificed to idols. In other words, they wanted things to consume it upon their own lust. So they defile their character. And that's what's the most thing. God's trying to form character in you. That's a central purpose. Remember what I said now? We have to not forget what the purpose is. And the premise is the Word of God. So the premise has to be right. It has to be sure. The premise can't be your self-preservation. We have to say that this is built on building Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. This is what it's about. It can't ever be about me. When I lose sight of this and it becomes about me, I have a problem. So what happens here is, he says, the book of James says, love not the world, huh? Don't get involved with the world and entangle with those things of the world. And see, that's when I can do harm to others, when I get tied up with the world. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So if I start thinking like the world, living like the world, I become as the world. Right? So this has to be about Christ. It has to be, if my enemy hunger, I should feed him. Canada said that they were taking most Syrian refugees in. If my enemy does anything, I should pray for my enemy. Right? That's what God says. So, what happens with Esau and Edom we read about? It was when they saw their brother in calamity, in distress, when they seen Israel being destroyed, they didn't give shelter to them. They didn't help them. They closed their borders off to Israel. Now see, he's saying, who's our neighbor? Who's my brother? See, so I don't know who in the world is my brother, because we all belong to one father. So I can't necessarily say a Syrian or somebody from another nation is not my brother, because God's the judge of that. So that's why I have to love all men. I can't put myself in a cocoon. I can't seal this off. I have to do what Jesus said, love all men. He gives me His Spirit to enable me to do that. So, as a preacher, that's what I'm telling you. See, this is the warning. This is what the preachers wasn't doing. And so, you had religious leaders and political leaders telling the people, contrary to that, saying, save yourself. The only way it's going to be peace is we do this. See, the premise was wrong. The premise was, it was about self. It was about what they can gain. It was about getting wealthy. It was about eating and maintaining a way of life. You have to be able to sacrifice a way of life. You have to give that up. You have to deny self. Now, that's the way of Balaam. I mean, the doctrine of Balaam. So it falls into your religious life. Well, how about the way of Balaam? The way of Balaam. These prophets, one of the reasons that they were suffering was because of the way of Balaam. We read about the way of Balaam in 2 Peter, the 15th chapter. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 15th verse. Now, we've talked about Balaam before, this false prophet, because God would talk through Balaam. And Balaam realized he could only say what God said say. But Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam eventually got what he had coming. He met the sword. He met death. Because he followed after greed and gain. God's word wasn't central to his life. God's word had to be central to your life. So my word this morning in here is about the allegations of wrongdoing among the leaders of the people. In other words, the pastors and the ministers. But do you know the leaders are reflective of what the people are? And the leaders can't lead if the people don't follow. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep will not follow another. So if you're following the people or the leaders of the world, you may not be Jesus' sheep. You may not be one of His sheep. You may not hear the true shepherd. That's because you've become dull of hearing. 2 Peter, the 15th verse says, abandoning the straight road, that is the right way to live, they have gone astray. That meant these people were on the right track at one time. They were inside the borders of God. These people were religious people. They were right, but some way or another, error was introduced. That's why I said, a lot of times you follow certain televangelists or go to certain churches or whatever, you're not listening at every word and observing and knowing those who labor among you, and they gradually got you off the path. It came slowly. You know, things happen slowly. That's why it says, do not look after a woman to lust after, because that starts in your heart. And before long, that which in your heart will grow. That's what defiles a man. In other words, you're lusting now, but the next thing you're going to be doing, you're going to be talking with it. The next thing you know, before you know it, lust will be then conceived and it bring it forth sin. The conversation comes right after seeing and getting this into the lust of the eyes. That's when the lust of the flesh comes about, comes to fruition. It says these people were led astray. In other words, they were in religious churches, but they started to eat from the wrong tables. They started listening to the wrong preachers. Now they don't know who's right or which one is right. Now they're away from God. He says they have followed the way of false teachers. The son of Beor, in other words, Balaam, who loved the reward of wickedness. These people love the reward of wealth. They love the reward of recognition. They love popularity. They love the things of the world and still are having love for the truth. So you have to watch what's being spoken unto you. These people were product of hirelings. You didn't heard that a prophet being a hireling? Jesus said the hireling will flee. See, that's, you know, today that a lot of churches, most churches nowadays hire a preacher. The preacher is hired. If he's not productive, if, you know, in the last few years, if I was a hired preacher and I didn't increase the fold, if we didn't have members joining and the church wasn't growing, they would fire me as a non-productive preacher. You see, I thank God that man didn't hire me, so man can't fire me. You see, a lot of preachers follow the money. They start in a smaller church. The church down the road see they have a gift or something. So these people are like Balaam. They're prostituting their gift. They go to the highest bidder. And that's what Balaam was. He was a sorcerer. He was one that would prophesy for money. So he would go to whoever would pay him. And you remember Balak brought so much money, he couldn't resist this. So these preachers go from church to church because it's more money involved. It's all about the dollar. So they never really care about the sheep. How can, if these people were attached to you, how can now you at that other church, this mega church, this larger church, so you didn't have a relationship with your members? See, God says, I'll give you pastors after my heart and after yours. In other words, you will be united to that pastor. That pastor's going to love you because you're one of his sheep. See, but a hireling, he don't care what happens to you long as your money is there. He don't care whether you're there or not. Just send your tithes and offerings. See, but he have to, if he's a true pastor, he should know you by name. And that's impossible to ask today to ask most preachers, do you know each person in your church name? Do you know their family? Do you know anything about the people that you minister to? So you don't know those that you're laboring among, let alone those that labor, you labor among, they don't know you. You don't know them and they don't know you. But both of y'all go to that same church. He the pastor and you the member. That's a heck of a combination, I tell you that. But Jesus said, I know my sheep and I know them by name. He can call you and he can tell each sheep by their infirmity. I know what this sister needs. I know what that brother needs. That's when I can feel these needs and I feel your infirmities and I preach on those. That's what strengthens us, is the spirit that comes from me truly love you. So I wasn't just hired. And see, that's what his problem was. This thing is about money now, and he knew that was what was going to happen with religion. That's why he says, in the latter days, there'll be many false prophets. In other words, there'll be many preachers in here preaching for money. That's what it's about now, the dollar. That's what the church has become, a business. But he says, not so with his church. Shouldn't be there. But the churches have went along with this and they have corrupted the preachers. The preachers allow the people to help corrupt them. They're just like the people and the people like them. They all shall fall in the ditch. Same condemnation. But it's not only a way of life that's corrupt. It's not only their doctrine is corrupt. It is that the error of their of Balaam. The error of Balaam. That's three serious issues with Balaam, with the false prophets, with the false teachers and preachers. That comes in the book of Jude, the 11th chapter. Here's the error here. See, a lot of us err in the natural because we let anybody preach the gospel. When Priscilla and Aquila met Apollos preaching, and they say he's a great orator. He can preach a lot of people under the table. There's a lot of great preachers out there. I can't stand in their shadow. I couldn't even stand next to those preachers. But one problem, though. Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They said, something wrong with this guy, though. He's a great preacher. He charismatic. But there's something wrong. The problem was, he didn't have the Spirit. He didn't have the Spirit of God. That's the error of Balaam. Jude 11 chapter says, what sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who kill his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. Oh, why did these people perish? Who had perished being innocent? What's the problem here? The error. Well, when we say like Cain, these are like the Laodicean church. You remember the Laodicean church that says, you're rich and have need of nothing, but you don't know it that you're naked, poor, and wretched, that they didn't have God? See, religious people like Cain, the Laodicean church, people in church nowadays, they're very religious. The religious natural man, they are very religious natural people. But are about gain. They believe in God and in religion, but after their own will. It has to be in their way. God is shaped and formed in their image. They reject redemption by blood. You remember Cain was the one who offered a bloodless sacrifice. It didn't cost them anything. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of Americans now. They don't want their liberty, their freedom to cost them anything. That's why they want to restrict Muslims coming in, because now that they're seeing it's a cost for liberty. If you want freedom, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. To stay in, it's going to cost you something. Don't let some man tell you he can make you at peace. He can make you prosperous and he can secure you. No man can achieve that. No man can keep you safe. No man can give you wealth. God said, I give you the power to get wealth. You didn't get that power yourself. But you have those that, and they love calling their name. If it was up to them, their name would be stamped on your forehead. They can't do or say anything wrong, and that's what they want you to do, is glorify their name. We never thought that we would be naming that in America, saying that some people are fascists. This guy's a fascist. This individual is a fascist. That's what we're seeing in the church now. That's what the church has become here in America. Allegations of wrongdoing. The proof's in the pudding now. Who's making the allegation? This is God making the allegation. The preachers was only the device used to bring the indictment against those preachers. They compel as a teacher of religion to explain atonement, the false teachers explain it away. The error of Balaam has to be distinguished from the way of Balaam. Now, listen. I say the doctrine and the way of Balaam. Balaam's error was that reasoning from natural morality and seeing the evil in the people that they were dealing with. And that's what Richard Engel was saying the other night. He was on Rachel Maddow. Richard Engel is a world correspondent news reporter. And he's always in the war-torn zones. He's out there in the field. He's similar to Dan Rather. He's really earned his chops. He's a true nonpartisan reporter. And he says the other countries are watching. The other nations are watching America and saying this is what they truly are. This is their sin. This is what they're wrong at. Now, here's the problem. enemy can see your weaknesses. As the enemy see the weakness in America, as we see the weakness in America, you remember a remnant of Israel was saved. This remnant that Ezekiel is talking about is in captivity. True, they did do all that was there, they said was done. They were being destroyed by God. But there were among them innocent people, because it rains on the just and the unjust. So when America gets what it has coming, when the state gets what it has coming, when the city gets what it has coming, we have to look unto God, because God may allow us to be like Antipas. We may be killed. We may die, because it rains on the just and the unjust. But we want him to give us power, strength, the spirit to stand faithful unto death. We're not afraid of death. See, these other people are fearing dying. See, but what it is, the power is in the spirit. The power is that, thank God I've lived this long. Thank God for every day he gives me from here. You know that he gives me the strength to be in my right mind. He gives me health and he protects me day by day. And I'm going to be grateful to him for each and every one of those days. See, sometimes people see things going on in your life and they think that's a weakness. Whereas with God, our weaknesses is our strength. Our weaknesses is our strength. That's when we're strong. So what the enemy don't realize is you walking by carnality, you looking at the problem, and I'm looking at God. I'm walking by faith. I'm doing what God told me to do. See, Balaam deviated from that track, and he thought he could assume authority. Just like Cain, he disrespected God in not offering up the right offering, not offering this offering the way it's supposed to be done. It maintains and enforces its own authority, its own laws. It usurps the authority of God. It's not looking at God's law. He was blind to the higher morality of the cross. In other words, that Jesus says, turn the right cheek if your enemy smite thee on the left. See, that was beyond the logic of natural-minded man. You see, being spiritually minded, we don't live by the sword. He said, he who live by the sword shall die by the sword. See, where they get confused at, they're thinking of a natural sword. And Jesus, when he says, take up your swords, he was meaning the word of God. The word of God was the sword that we live by. Not the next. See, the error of Balaam is the natural-minded man. The Bible wasn't wrote to a natural-minded man. So when natural-minded men preach out of the Bible, they preach things that are not scriptural. They have a lack of understanding. It's just like Satan coming to Jesus in the wilderness, quoting scripture and not understanding. God hadn't opened their understanding whereby they may understand scripture. Now God's going to punish those false prophets for that error. And you remember I told you, by assuming authority, they start assuming this authority. So God justifies, and he's the justifier of those that he chooses. The one that he chooses, not those popularity or money choose. Korah was one. The sin of Korah was the denial of the authority of Moses as God's chosen spokesman. He made an intrusion into the priesthood. That's why I was telling you that some people think that you're not fit to lead. Some people think that the president is not fit to lead. But doesn't it say respect those that are in authority over you? So we should pray for the president, because by a fair election, God allowed him to be elected. So we trying to, the people, what the people are doing, they're speaking evil of God's ruler. They're usurping authority over God's appointed ruler. That's what Korah did. He says, God's talking to us also, and that you're not the only one that can lead God's people. He came up against Moses. And God caused the earth to swallow these people up, because they was going against God-appointed, God-ordained authority. That's what happens when you rise up against someone God has placed in office. And there's no power in power but those that God had made. He set it up, rulers. He set it up, kings. So they set about to destroy this. And you know what's so thankful? You remember I telling you Louisiana was one of the ones that had to be destroyed? See, when we talk in a physical sense like that, we also have to pray for the peace of the land. We have to pray for our leaders. What's the blessing this morning? One of the true blessings here that now we can truly pray in all earnestness, in all ways, in all prosperity and blessings upon our governor. We have a governor in this state now that we're proud of. You remember I told you if we elect this other man governor, we would have to pray a different prayer, even though we have to pray for the governor, that we would have to be in fear because a tyrant or adulterer would be ruling. But now this man that's in there, it gives us hope. So when Louisiana goes through what it has to go through, it has to go through judgment. Everyone has to go through the trial, the great 7-year tribulation. Somebody's going to preach there's a rapture that's going to snatch you away from the time of Jacob's trouble. We will have to go through. God's able to maintain you to go through. And he give us leaders to go through with. So we have to see the changing of the God when God brings that about. So what happens here is, you remember I told you about working from the wrong premise. We're going to have to speed these up now because time is almost gone. And with the wrong premise, I said that they're not working on God's standards. They're not working by God's timetable. They're lacking the new birth. They're like Korah. They're not born again. They're not qualified to rule. You must needs be born again, right? That's what he told Nicodemus. You must need, but it's not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh. So some of these political leaders that aren't born again, they will lead you to destruction. Some of the religious leaders that not born again, they have ran themselves. They can't lead you. They have to be. This is what God has against these shepherds, that they're leading the people astray. That's why he says, speak to the leaders. Speak to the shepherds. And the shepherd in that sense, meaning both your leaders, spiritual and secular. Because he needs to be spiritual if he's secular anyhow. So, listen at why I said they're not qualified. Here's the qualifications for a preacher. We just do one. Because like I said, we time limited here. We got for eternity to learn this. It comes from Romans 10:15. How could they be a shepherd? How could they preach? It says, how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent by God for that purpose? How can you preach unless you be sent by God? Just as it is written, forever remains written. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of the gospel. In other words, how can the people hear without a preacher? Because remember he says, Ezekiel, I'm appointing you a watchman. I'm making you a watchman to go warn the people. So God has to commission or send these preachers. How can they preach unless they're sent? Now to hear, you have to hear it from a preacher. There's no man that's born again that hadn't heard the preaching of the gospel. That's the way you convert it. That's God had chose the foolishness of preaching to save man. But it wasn't everybody that he chose as an ordained vessel to bring that about. So what's the rub here? What's the rub? The rub is we preached about it back in Ezekiel the 13th chapter. It was Ezekiel the 13th chapter. You remember I told you, watch the chronology of the Bible because sometimes it's word upon word, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So let's bring this 13th chapter into view here. Let's see what God says in 13th chapter, the first verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. Prophesy against the preachers that's preaching, in other words, in the churches. The ones that's preaching in the churches, you prophesy against them and say thou to them, prophesy out of your own heart. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You prophesy, that's something you believe in. That's what you keep saying. That's why I say the problem with this guy, he keeps saying, I. What happens when he can't do what he promised? He's not saying God. Don't let man promise you anything. The Bible tells you in the last days, men would rise up with great swelling word to draw you away. They will say smooth words. They will say things that sound good. He says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets. He calls them foolish because only a fool in his heart that don't know God goes and prophesies without God telling him a synonym. He says, that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up in the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. In other words, you hadn't fortified them by proper preaching, by teaching, laying the right foundations. This whole house could fall like a house of cards because you were not sent. The foundation, Jesus Christ, is not the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ has to be the premise. He has to be what the house is built on. He's that rock, the rock of ages. Unless the Lord build a house, you laboring in vain. He says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, and the Lord had not sent them. The Lord had not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? Have ye not spoke a lying divination? Whereas you say, albeit the Lord have not spoken. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you. You got a problem if God says I'm against you. See, we don't have a problem. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God's against you, therein lies the rub. That's the problem. You don't have God on your side. The accusation and the allegation is coming from the judge who has power and authority to carry this out. That's the one you should fear. Don't fear what ISIS says. Don't fear some politician or some preacher. You fear God. You fear Him. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if God doesn't judge you, who cares what man says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need to have right religious results. Those prophets was getting wrong results. So the people wasn't getting stronger. They had a false hope. They had a false insight, an outside or oversight. They couldn't see the right thing because it was lying visions. It was lying divination. That's why the people were scattered, because they were weak and they knew they were weak. See, when a person can stumble around to find a light, he do have a little strength. That's what he told me, to strengthen that which is about to die. Strengthen those that are weak. Give them some hope. Tell them, I am coming. Just hold on. Be patient and hold the fort. Feed my sheep, Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. Care for the sheep. You tell them that I said this. Just hold on. Hold out in Galilee. I'll be there. Whatever. Do like Job said. Yet though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Let me tell you this. If your health's failing you, hold on. God's going to be your Savior. If you don't have what you want, be content with what that you have. Don't lust and covet after something you don't have. You make the best of what God gives you. The health that you have, thank God for that health. Thank God that you made it this long. There's somebody in far worse shape than you are that don't realize that if you serve in the living God, He'll never say a word against you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never bring an accusation against you. He won't allow this to happen. He said, Father, I died for him. Father, he's struggling down here, but that's one of mine. And whatever they do against the least of these, against those, they've done it against me. So people will do things against you. They will make accusations and allegations about you. But man can carry that out. Don't fear those that can destroy the body. Don't fear ISIS talking about terror. They don't know what terror is. God can terrorize you. That's the only one that can, that's holy terror there. God is. I don't fear no man. You can only kill me. And you know what that makes it? Because I might have been too tired. You know, when I get too tired, God's beseated, I get rest. But I know in my body I shall see God. Whether I'm here or not, but I'm not going to give up the faith. Never give up the faith. On my dying bed, I'm going to say, Lord, here I come. I'm going to see heaven open up for me. But I'm not going to give up as long as I'm in this. I don't care what you say. Stone may rage, wind may blow. But I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to keep holding on to His unchanging hand. The diagnosis looks bad. I know it looks bad. But look, I'm holding out for Jesus Christ. The doctor don't know. He can just prognosticize. In other words, he can say, well, this is what we think will happen. Some people, they might tell them, you got 6 months to live. You got five. You don't know how long. Life and death is in God's hand. And whenever He get ready for me, that's when I'm coming. That's when I'm coming. The doctor don't know. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this day, Lord God, help us to be strengthened in Your word and in Your way, Lord God, to walk.